John, from the 20th chapter. Now, when it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, the disciples were gathered together, and the door where they were gathered was locked because they were afraid of the mob that had just crucified Jesus. But Jesus came, and he stood among them, and he said, "Peace be with you. As God has sent me, so now I'm sending you." And then he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. But if you retain them, they are retained." And then he showed his hands and his side to them, and then they rejoiced because they saw the Lord. But Thomas, he was called the twin, he was one of the 12. He wasn't with them when Jesus appeared, and so when they told him, "We've seen the Lord," he said, "Unless I see the mark of the nail in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, the disciples were again gathered, and the door where they were gathered was locked, and this time Thomas was with them. And Jesus again appeared to them, and he said, "Peace be with you." And then he said to Thomas, "Reach out your hand. See the mark of the nail in my hand and touch it with your finger. And reach out and put your hand in my side. No longer doubt, but believe." Then Thomas cried out, "My Lord and my God." But Jesus said to him, "Thomas, do you believe because you've seen me? But blessed are those who have not seen me and yet have come to believe." Now, Jesus did many other things in the presence of his disciples. They're not written in this book. But these things are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God. And by believing in him, you might have life in his name. This is a story about God's people, and it's for the people of God. Please be seated. Michaela, who's making her way out the back doors, has a story for the young people. If you would like to go hear the story of the Bear Report, you can make your way out to the comfy chairs, and that's where they'll be, where the ushers are. There's coloring and story time and praying and all sorts of things. I want to see his wounds. Those disciples told Thomas, "We've seen the Lord," and he said, "I want to see his wounds." Now, I don't know if you've ever been with your friends and they've told you a very tall tale, and you're like, "Yeah, right." I picture Thomas in that space. "We've seen the Lord." "Yeah, right." Thomas doesn't say, "I want to see him too." He says, "I want to see his wounds. If I see his wounds, then I'll believe." I like to think that I'm a lot like Thomas, but the truth is I'm not much like Thomas, because Thomas says, "Lord, I want to see your wounds," but I say, "Lord, I want you to see my wounds." In fact, we were on retreat last weekend. I was coming down a flight of stairs. I missed the bottom step. You've done that before, right? I turned my ankle, rolled my foot, broke two bones in my foot. It's black and blue. Look, I can walk just normally, right? But I love it when people say to me, "How's your foot?" And I say, "Do you want to see it?" Do you want to see it? You can see it later if you want. I'll do show and tell. But I want people to see my wounds because I want people to identify with my brokenness, with the journey that I've traveled and what I've suffered, and to have empathy for me, to walk with me, to become friends with me. And if we're honest, our woundedness is often a point of connection where we meet one another, we can care for one another and develop our relationships. So I don't really care about seeing Jesus' wounds, and if I'm really honest, I don't really care about seeing yours either. I just want you to see mine. I want you to love me and care for me. And so, you know, I've got scars all over my body from stitches and operations and scratches and cats and dogs and twisting my ankle, and I'm sure that your body has those kind of scars too. We carry with us signs and markers of the physical things that we've endured. But we carry around bigger scars than that. We carry around emotional scars and spiritual scars and relational scars that no matter how hard we try to have people see them, those are completely hidden from sight. They're only ever seen in deep conversation amongst friends. And when we reveal those scars, we're at deep, deep risk, because those places are most vulnerable for us. Places of loss and betrayal and pain. And I say, you know what, you all, you clean up pretty good. I mean, we do that, right? We get dressed in the morning, we shower, comb our hair, put on our makeup, walk out into the world, and we look really whole to one another. And especially in the church, we also look joyful. But you can't fool me. You can't fool me. I know that you have deep, deep scars and wounds, and you carry them with you wherever you go, because you're like me. And I carry my wounds and my scars, and I do my best to clean myself up and to be friends to you and pastor to you. But the fact is, I'm a pretty broken person. And I think in some way, we all are pretty broken. And our wounds and our pains are really particular to us. So if I were to open up my bag, you'd see meanness from my siblings and hurt in those relationships. Betrayal by my first spouse, I have to be careful not to include Phil, adultery, divorce, earthquakes, famine, war, you know, I could go on and on and on. If we open up that bag, it's often hard to put all those things back in and contain it. And Thomas says, I want to see his wounds. I want to see his wounds. I'd love to think not just the marks of the nails in his wrists and his feet, not just the spear mark in his sides, but his real woundedness, the woundedness from betrayal and denial and crucifixion, of torture and death, of not being heard, not being understood. I want to see those wounds. And when I see them, then I'll know that this really is my Lord, because I was walking with him when that happened, and we shared that with one another. I want to see his wounds, because in his woundedness is not just my Lord and my God, but my friend. In his woundedness is the depth of our relationship. I can understand something of his woundedness, and I know that he understands mine. See, Thomas wasn't interested in a Lord that was all cleaned up. And I don't know if you've ever given this any thought, but I think it's really strange that the risen Lord has wounds. This, after all, is the God of the universe who invented and created everything, who breathes life and hope and spirit and possibility into every living thing, who gives the flowers and the birds and the animals their food in due season. Surely God could have healed those wounds. Isn't it weird that our resurrected Lord has wounds? I say not really. Because his wounds are the biggest wounds there are. He suffered everything a human being could possibly think to suffer. Loss of parent, betrayal of friends, denial, abandonment, torture, death, ridicule, mocking. He experienced everything that could drag us through the mud, and he took it to God. He took it all to God. There's a lot of speculation about where Jesus went after he died, where he was those 3 days. And my dear friend and mentor, Timothy Olson, has the best explanation I've ever heard, and so now I make it yours. When Jesus died, he descended to the depths of hell and despair, and he rounded up every soul that was there. He kicked down the gates, and he didn't leave until he had everyone in his arms, and it took him 3 days to do that. And when that place was empty, he came back to us. He rescues us from every wound, from every scar, from every pain, from our own unworthiness, the things we inflict upon ourselves. And when he says to Thomas, "Here, see my wounds. Take your finger and put it in the mark of the nails, and take your hand and stick it in my side." He's saying to Thomas, "Bring your woundedness to my wounds. I'll actually make my wounds bigger for you. Give me all your hurt, all your scars, all your disappointment and betrayal, all of your loss. Come and bring it to me. I'm big enough for you." We don't need anything else except a wounded Lord. A wounded Lord who is creator and master of everything, including us all. We can bring to him our joys, our communal life, our hardships, but we can also bring our woundedness. And in those marks of his hands and in that slit in his side, he sucks all of that out of us and unites us with him and with the glory of all creation. He tells us that your suffering, our suffering, can be a gift. Our suffering and our woundedness is often the place of greatest transformation, because in our suffering and our woundedness, we let go of our pretenses. We let go of our niceties and our fancy clothes and cleaning ourselves up. And we become real and honest with ourselves and with one another. And Jesus tells us, "I'm going to give you life that's life indeed, if you dare bring that to me." And so this morning, Pastor Phil and I have oil, and we'd like to anoint you. What is your deep woundedness that you need to bring to Jesus? That thing only you know. You maybe have never shared it with another person. Your sorrow, your sadness, your pain. We invite you to bring it and lay it at the foot of the cross. And we'll anoint you with oil, with the woundedness of the Lord who gathers our wounds to himself to transform them into life and hope and glory. So come as you are called, come as you are able, come as you desire. We're here for you. And may the woundedness of Christ be your balm, your healing, and your hope from now and forevermore. Amen.